Trisha, I heard some really good things about last night too. It's a karaoke game night, and I got to see some videos from last night. People I've talked to said it was just so much fun, and that's just a little preview of the activities, the events, the things that are going to be happening here more and more and more. Because we want to see this whole 7 days a week things happening for you guys to learn, grow, have fun, connect, serve, minister. I actually saw a video of there was a cute little makeshift little girls choir that was singing Let It Go. And I saw some of our teens, two of our teens, they sang My Way. I saw their duet. It was awesome. I didn't even know they knew who Frank Sinatra was. And then there was also a special guest video I saw, a special guest that sang in Japanese. That one was really funny. I love that one. Anyway, just a preview of things to come. Let me start with a question. How many of you growing up obeyed your parents in everything you were told? Do not lie. Do not lie. You know, my kids, I have three kids, they're pretty good kids. And they didn't need the spoon. I brought the spoon in. They didn't need the spoon that often. But they didn't just obey my wife Dale and I automatically. They did not, especially when they get the terrible twos and what, they didn't obey automatically. If any parent will know this, and you growing up with your parents, you know this. They had to be trained to obey. They had to be trained to obey. If that's true for us, is it any less true for us with our Heavenly Father? With our Heavenly Father. As we continue in this Awe of God series, we're going through the series, The Awe of God. It's based on this book by John Bevere. I get these senior moments. That just goes blank. Thank you. John Bevere, The Awe of God. This week's topic is week four, chapter four, our response to God's word. And I believe we greatly underestimate God's word. Greatly underestimate God's word. In fact, John Bevere talks about we ought to be trembling at the word of God. Look at these verses, Isaiah 66, 2. My hands have made both heaven and earth. And this is the Lord talking through the prophet. So this is a word of the Lord. My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. You know, when God speaks, his voice is power. Everything was created was by the word. The word that God spoke it into existence from nothing. The entire universe was spoken into existence by his word. So he says, I have spoken it into existence. I will bless those, look at this, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who what? Tremble at my word. Psalms 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Whether we read his word, the Bible, or hear his word through the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we must recognize not just the words we read or the words we hear, but the person who's saying or writing these words, the person behind the words, and the authority of that person who is speaking. That means a couple of things. Number one, that we exalt what God says above anything or anyone else. What God says ought to take precedence over what anyone else says, what you read in the media, what you have read in books, it should take precedence over that. What your parents say, what your friends say, what the newspaper says, what these experts say, it should take precedence over that way more or anything else in our lives. Secondly, how do we honor God? Obey. That's how we honor God. We obey him. And in the book, it talks about, John Beaver talks about, we obey him without complaining. You really ought to read the book. You should be reading. Some of you filled out the commitment cards, action cards. That's one of the things. Read the book. In that book, in one of the sections in this chapter 4, he talks about the sin of complaining. Very convicting. Very convicting. And so we ought to honor God, we should obey without complaining. Because, and not only because he's God, but because this, obedience equals alignment with God's ordained design for us. In other words, God designed us. God created us. God has the blueprint. He is the potter. We are the clay. Sometimes the clay gets pretty feisty. Sometimes as clay, we think we're on a par with God. He's the potter. We're the clay. And so he designed us certain ways and according to certain truths and according to certain principles. And so if we want to live the best life and work the best way that God designed us to work, we need to obey to bring ourselves into alignment with how he designed us. You know, I have a lot of different interests. It's funny to me how different things catch my attention. So I was just looking, I went to watching TV, I was looking at Prime Video, and I was just scrolling through, and I saw this series. It kind of caught my eye. It's called Build It Bigger. Build It Bigger. And it was just, they do this documentary on these different construction projects and how they put it together. I was interested. I just started watching it. I started to watch the first episode, and it was on the construction of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's the football stadium in Atlanta, the brand new football stadium. And it's incredible. It's incredible. And it showed how they're building the roof, because it has a dome. And in the roof, they have this special roof that opens. And it's crazy, it's the way it opens, and they were showing how they had to build and construct this roof. And they said, it opens, it's like a pedal. I'll show you a video of it in a minute, it's amazing. But they said, when they first tested it for the very first time, they got it all in place, the framework, and they had to test it to see if it would open. They said, when they ran the test, they had to do it very slowly, inch by inch. They had to coordinate it, because there's 8 of these pedals that open up. They had to coordinate all the opening, and they were doing it inch by inch, because they said, if something's not aligned, if one of those gigantic, enormous pedals was not aligned properly, then and they collided with each other, it could be disaster. In fact, if they collided, then it could actually, at that point, collapse the whole roof. And so they had to do it very carefully, and everything had to be perfectly aligned. Watch this video. I'll show you this video of this. those petals, they're on these rails. And they have to all be aligned for it to work properly. If they're not aligned properly, it could be a disaster. There's many people out there, sometimes in our own lives, that their lives or our lives or situations could get in shambles, could collapse or be in danger of collapsing, could be in trouble because our lives or people's lives are not aligned with God's truth, God's design, not aligned in obedience, in alignment with God's ways. And today you could look out and you see people whose values don't align, whose beliefs don't align, whose lifestyles don't align, and you could just see their lives are in shambles. They might not even know it. They might think it's because of all these other reasons. But the core reason is they're not being obedient. They're not living in alignment with the Word of God. You know what that's called? Not being in alignment? Sin. That's what sin is. Sin is living out of alignment with God's word. God's commands are not for him. He gave the commands for us. He speaks his word for us. They are for us. And the number one evidence that we have a healthy and holy fear of the Lord is by an obedient to God's word. Obedience is not only a sign and not only prevents us, obedience and fear of the Lord does not only keep us from sin, help to keep us from sin, but the love of the Lord motivates us to do good. Because Jesus says, if you love me, the evidence that you truly love me is what? If you keep my commandments. So it's both sides. Fear of the Lord keeps us from sin, obeying him in that by not sinning, and love of the Lord helps us to do right, to do good, to bless others. Now, John Bevere gives five characteristics of God-honoring obedience. And so I'm going to go through these quickly. The first one, to obey God, right? Honor God through obedience. We obey immediately. Immediately. Psalm 119, 59 and 60. I pondered the direction of my life, and I turned to follow your laws. Do you ever ponder the direction of your life? Do you ever wonder what direction, what decisions, which way I should go, what I should do? The psalmist says, turn to the word of God. And then he says, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. When we are slow or neglect to obey God for something or some other person, and that person could be ourselves, we're slow to delay because of ourselves, because of other interests we have or other desires we have, we show more honor to that thing or to that person than to God. You know, a few weeks ago, a month ago, I had you fill out these action step cards, and it gave you three options to do was read the book, right? Read all of God. It was fasting, commit to fasting, and then there was read the verses about fear of the Lord. Okay, that's ongoing. Some of you have you made a commitment, not to me, to the Lord, so fulfill that commitment. I encourage you to fulfill that commitment. But one of the things, fasting, there's fasting on there, so I did that, I fasted. And then, but then the other day, Bob sent me an email, and it was about fasting, because in the larger Christian community, there's been a lot of different groups and different people that are calling for fasting right now. In fact, I've seen it multiple times from different organizations or different groups. They're saying the Lord is calling everyone to a fast. I thought, oh, that's cool. We're kind of in alignment. We're fasting. You know, our people are fasting. A lot of them are trying to fast. But it said they're calling on a fast of 40 days, right, in various ways, and you could do it however the Lord leads you. But from tomorrow, to Good Friday or Easter, right? That's the 40-day window. And so Bob, he goes, hey, are you planning to do anything else with fasting? It's like, I don't feel like the Lord wants me. I don't think the Lord wants me to do another 40-day food fast. I'm not going to do that. I go, I don't know. I'll just think about it. So that was Friday. Yesterday, I was driving here for our Cafe Fuego on Saturday morning. I was driving here, and I was thinking about, and then that came to mind, and I felt that Lord speak to me about fasting. I felt like he said this: I want you to fast for the 40 days, fast watching any sports. I'm not going to say love. I like a lot watching sports. I really like watching sports. And when he said that to me, I thought, oh my gosh, March Madness is coming up. UCLA, my team, they're in March Madness. And then the women's basketball team, they're like really good. They were ranked number one, and I want to watch the women's basketball team to see if they can win the championship. And then the Lakers and Luka. The Lakers, I love watching the Lakers and Luka. I just love watching. And then Masters, I love watching the Masters golf. They're all, I go, oh my gosh, no, no. And then I keep thinking, tomorrow I'm going to be speaking. Obey immediately. Don't delay. And so I felt like the Lord said yesterday during Cafe Fuego, declare it tomorrow morning. Because once you say it, right, once it comes out of your mouth, you can't take it back anymore. It's like you're committed. So I declare it starting tomorrow. There's a few things I want to watch today. So starting tomorrow. So I'm even thinking, God, is it okay if I tape it? And then after the 40 days over, watch it? I don't know. I'm still negotiating with him about that. But I am not going to watch sports starting tomorrow for 40 days. You guys could join me. You are welcome to join me. But when we obey, God says, immediately, don't delay. What has God been telling you to do or telling you to address? What issue has he been telling you to address in your life that you've been putting off? There's always things out there like, yeah, I know I should deal. Yeah, I know I should go to PMT. Yeah, prayer ministry team. I know I need to get prayer ministry. I don't know how many people I've talked to. Yeah, I know I'm thinking about PMT. How long have you been thinking about PMT? 10 years. Let me tell you, that lack of obedience, it's affecting you, hurting you, hurting your spouse if you're married, hurting your kids and your family, hurting people. You're misaligned in that area. So if there is something in your life, you know it. Right when I said it, some of you said, oh yeah, I have that thing. If that's you, do it now. Do it now. If there's someone you need to forgive, that you've harbored ill will, resentment, bitterness towards a person, and you've had it for days, weeks, months, years, decades. Do it now. Say, I can't. It's too hard. Go get prayer. Start addressing it. Sometimes things like forgiveness, it's hard to do immediately, but take a step. Take a step. That's part of obeying. The second and third things, characteristics about obedience, they're very similar. Obey even if it doesn't make sense and there's no apparent ROI, return on investment. So to do it, you don't see any benefit to you, all right? Now, I don't generally think, this is my personal, I don't generally think normally God asks us to do something that doesn't make sense. Normally, we live by what he speaks. We live by his word. We live, there's books, right? Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastes. There's all these wisdom books. The Bible is full of wisdom. And so wisdom is kind of like spiritual, biblical common sense. Like what being wise. And so those things should make sense to us. A lot of those things, like, yeah, okay, that's the right thing, right? But there are times when God will ask us to do something that doesn't make sense or is of no apparent benefit to us. Many examples in the Bible, right? Did it make sense to build this gigantic boat in the middle of the desert? Did it make sense to offer and take your son, who you were promised, who you had to wait until you were 100 years old, to take your son and offer him, like the heathen nations, offer him on the altar and sacrifice him to God? Did it make sense to attack a Midianite army of 130,000 people with an army of 300. That's Gideon. There's many examples in the Bible where God asks someone to obey even though it doesn't make logical, rational sense. That's why this verse has become so important for me to continue to remember, to continue to remind myself, to continue to think, yeah, okay. It's a famous verse, and I can see why it's so quoted so often. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trusting is obeying God even when it doesn't make sense, even if you don't see a return on your investment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. If you try to just live your life leaning on your own understanding, then you're going to have a very tiny view of God. Because God can only work within what you think is rational and what you can understand. That is incredibly, incredibly limiting. Because God wants us to walk by what? Faith. And when we walk by faith, we don't put biggest stock. Our God is not our own rational understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And if you do that, he will make your paths straight. So part of obeying is obeying even when it doesn't make sense. Sometimes, even when it doesn't make sense, or even when you can't see a personal benefit to yourself. That was 2 and 3. Fourth, obey despite the possible pain. At some point, obeying God will be painful. It will entail some kind of suffering. It'll cause some suffering and pain. 1 Peter 2:20-21. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good, endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good. Look at this. God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow his steps. You know what the core of this is, I think? It's the core of this is, am I going to put as my highest value or a higher value obedience to God or my comfort? Obedience or comfort? In the United States especially, we have a huge idol of comfort. That's what happens when you live in a wealthy, affluent society. By living in the United States, by all of you here, you're in the top 1% of the entire world. And because we live in an affluent, wealthy society, it makes us soft because we like our comfort. We like things quickly, right? I remember seeing this comedian, he talks about Amazon Prime. Right? You could get it tomorrow. And he goes, what's next? You know what I want, he said? Not Amazon Prime, not Amazon tomorrow. I want Amazon now. I want it such that while I'm ordering it, I put my hand out and it comes into my hand at that moment. Amazon now, when I order food, I want it to come so that I'm even eating the food as I'm typing this order in. Amazon now, not this Amazon tomorrow. We get irritated if it's a day late. We get so frustrated when the washing machine breaks down. That's what happens. That's the dangers of living in a wealthy, affluent society. But the Lord says obedience, at some point, it's going to entail suffering. It's going to entail pain. You know, many years ago, there was this thing, WWJD, right? Do you younger guys know what WWJD is? Probably because, right? Sydney's saying, yes, she knows, right? What would Jesus do? It was this whole campaign. What would Jesus do? So whenever you have a decision, whenever you're in trouble, whatever, what would Jesus do in this situation? And then it went viral, right? There was t-shirts, bumper stickers, right? WWJD. There was all this, there was bracelets. Everyone had these WWJD bracelets. Right? It's all about what would you do? And basically, it's about the verse we read. It's about the verse about following in Jesus' steps. It says, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. That's basically what WWJD is. You must follow in his steps, right? But following in his steps, that's what it really means to be a disciple. And if you follow in Jesus' steps, this is where it leads. That's where following Jesus leads. It always leads us to the cross of what Jesus did for us. That First Peter verse talks about he suffered for us. He suffered that for you. And then it says, because he did that for you, you follow in his steps. So we look at this image. There is power in it. There's power in the cross. There is power that the Lord gives to suffer for the sake of obeying him. You know, our lives are very short. Our lives are short. The older you get, the faster life seems like it goes by. And in the end, the comforts of this life pale in comparison to the fruit of being obedient to the Lord and living in alignment with him. That leads us to our final, our fifth characteristic of obedience: obey completely. I was struck by a couple of quotes from John Bevere. He says, partial obedience is not obedience. Almost complete obedience is disobedience. God is a loving father, but he's also master, boss, king, holy God, general. He is general. Imagine you're a private in the army. You're a private in the army. You're in your barracks. Four-star general with his entourage steps into the barracks. What do? Immediately you come to attention. That's the highest ranking general in the army. You immediately come to attention. You salute, you stand up as straight and tall as you can. The general says, son or daughter, I have a job for you. I want you to clean these barracks until they shine. Then he turns and walks out. What do you do? I'll take care of it some other time. Or you start cleaning, you get about 90% done. That's good enough. No way. You have a toothbrush on the floor. You're scrubbing every nook and cranny. You're doing as much as you can because the general of the army has given you an order. How much more with the God who made you, the God who created you, the God that sacrificed his own son for you. Well, how about some application? How do we grow in obedience? We're going to look at this really eye-opening verse as we move to the close. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. This verse blows my mind. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. This is talking about Jesus. Although he was a son, Jesus, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. This is an incredibly mind-blowing verse. because it says several things about Jesus. For Jesus, number one, obedience was something he had to learn. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? Jesus had to learn obedience. And it says the way Jesus learned obedience was through suffering. He had to learn about that. Now, what I think this means, number one, is he had to be taught and trained how to walk out obedience as a human. He was perfect. He did not sin. But he had to learn obedience as a human, how to experience that, how to walk that out in daily life as a human being. He had to learn that. He had to be taught. He had to be trained how to do that. That's amazing to me. And his tutors were his trials. Because whenever he had a trial, it would test his obedience. Am I going to stay true and stay in alignment with my Father even though I'm facing this trial? He had to obey God and exercise faith in the midst of suffering. Number two, Jesus, his obedience grew over time. It grew over time, just like us. As time went by, he learned and he grew in his obedience more and more and more with more of the trials he faced. And then number three, for Jesus, there were levels of his obedience. It's almost like playing a video game or something, right, where there was levels. You had to defeat the Koopa. You had to defeat the big boss, right, to go to the next level. There was these trials, and he had to face each trial, and each one got progressively harder. His obedience got higher and higher until the ultimate, like, you know, Mario Brothers, the King Koopa, right? The big boss. What was that? The cross. Obeying to the point of death as a criminal on the cross. All that shame, and I think even bigger than that, the trial of being for the first time in all eternity forsaken by his heavenly Father. I think that was way more painful to him than the physical pain he suffered. And so Jesus had to learn obedience. If that's true for him, is it any less true for us? We have to be trained. We have to learn. We have to grow in our obedience to the Lord. So two applications. Number one, like I said, if there's something that you know God has been speaking to you, you've been putting it off, do it now. Do it now. Don't put it off any longer. Don't stop making excuses. Do it now. That's number one. Number two, start and continue in your obedience training. We are God's spiritual kids. We need training. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And I'm going to give you, I've talked about this before, I'm sold on it. I believe it works in helping us to be more disciplined, to make changes in our life, to walk in obedience. Two words, many habits. Many habits. It's based on this book called Many Habits. It's a small book. It's I think in the future I'm going to do a class on many habits. We're going to read through that. It's great because it talks to you about where do you want to grow? In our case, where do you want to become more obedient? What area of your life, or your relationships, your health, your devotional life, what area of your life do you want to grow in? And it says, identify it and start with a ridiculously small goal. For example, I know probably 90% of you think, I need to get in better shape. Okay? I need to work out, I need to get in better health, I need to get in better shape, right? So you set these, right? New Year's resolutions. I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week for 1 hour a week. I'm going to get in there. We all know what happens. You get in there, first day, second day, third day, you're doing good. Fourth day, oh, something comes up. Fifth day, something comes up, and then you stop doing it. His approach is, and it's based on psychology, how our brain works, how we emotionally work. It's all. He says, the key is not the amount, the quantity. It's the consistency. So set a goal so ridiculously small, you think, that's so easy. I could do that in my sleep. I could do that anytime. And set a goal where even on your worst day, everything's going wrong, you'll still do it. You could still do it. So his goal was, my goal for getting in shape, I'm going to do 1 push-up a day. That's right. I said 1. 1 push-up a day. He's like, what does that do? It helps us to be consistent and develop a habit. He says, some days I would do 5. Some days I would do 10. I would do more than that 1. But certain days when everything was going wrong, or I was super tired, or I wasn't feeling good, or I was terribly sick, I could still do 1. And that consistently building that habit every day will become a habit to the point, you know how you know when it becomes a habit? Is when you don't do it, feels worse than doing it. It's eating at you. So I told you, so over the years, I've slowly, by doing this, developed tiny little habits, began with tiny little habits, and I go, oh my gosh, I have all these little habits going on in my life, right? Inch by inch. First it was, right, journaling, just writing a journal. I tell people from the Hearing God class, I say, do a habit. Just, if you're having trouble, sit down and ask God to give you 1 word. Just 1 word. Love. I love you. I'm proud of you. I really like who you are. You have my peace. Just 1 word. I started journaling. Now, every day, journal. Reading the Bible. Started that, three chapters a day. Praying. I have a prayer list. I pray. And this all started very small. And it's growth. I pray. That's in devotional life. Health, I told you. I told about several years ago, I said, okay, I had a bad back. I'm going to do 1 burpee a day. 1 burpee. I've been doing 1 burpee and more for about 3 years. Every day. Sometimes I go down to sleep, lay in bed, and I go, I didn't do it. That's okay. It just bugs me. So it just bugs me. So I roll out of bed, I do 1, and I get back in bed. But it's the consistency. I do 1 burpee a day. I did fasting. I fast 24 hours twice a week. And I started doing intermittent fasting. That's when you just eat between 12 and 7 o'clock. Game changer. Intermittent, right, John? Game changer for your health. Game changer. Do intermittent fasting, and there's all these habits over the years. Where do you need to grow in your obedience? Start small and chip at it every day. And you'll see over time, you'll come into greater and greater alignment with the Lord. Habits build your spiritual muscle. Your character is based a lot on all the habits you've developed in your life. So think of one area. Right now, think of one area. Okay, this is the area where I need greater obedience. Could be relationships, could be with your kids, could be at work, could be your devotional life, could be with your health. This is the one area. And pick it, and then set a, if you need help setting a goal, I'll help you. I'll help you say, this is what I want to do, and say, can you give me, I'll give you a mini habit. And you, when you hear it, you'll say, that's stupid. That's so silly. I go, okay, it's so easy. You could do it every day. Do it every day. You could do more, but just do that every day. Because obedience to the word of God is what will release God's life, God's blessing, God's goodness in your life. Okay, let's bow forward to prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the way you've made us and you designed us and you created us, God. And thank you for not leaving us alone to figure things out on our own, but you've given us an instruction manual. You've given us commands. You've given us your word. You've given us your truth. You've tell us how to live rightly in alignment with you so we can experience the life you would have. And more importantly, ultimately, so we can experience greater closeness and intimacy and love in relationship with you. And so, Lord, give us a love, give us even a fear of your word, to obey your word, Lord. Obey your word. Live in alignment with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being in our lives. Thank you for giving us what we need and walking with us to help us to live in a way that's pleasing